Thanks be to the Lord for the grace and the privilege that we may be here with a very deep longing in our hearts to hear from God, to receive His Word, to have a new experience with Him, to seek the connection to Him and to find it, to have fellowship with Him and with one another. With me, it is still uncertain in this year whether I can be here at the first weekends. This was spoken of all over. The invitations come again and again, and I don't know how often and where I will be. One thing is very much on my heart, that God shortly could do something very mighty. I have given you a report of my last journey already here and also in Zurich. Some kind of things made me think, and of all what is happening around, we find out that we are living in the last days. Brother Schmidt has read the word that we should understand what the Lord has said. Listen to me, every one of you. I almost felt free to add one single word without being violent to the word. Listen to me carefully, every one of you, and understand what I told you. May the Lord give me and all of us grace to listen attentively, to listen carefully what He says, and then not to interpret, but to understand what He said. If somebody interprets, then he didn't understand at all. And if someone understood, he doesn't need to interpret anymore. Then the matter is clear. Then we have understood the speaking of the Lord. And this is what matters in these days. To listen carefully, in all seriousness, in all sincerity, without preconceived opinion. Also, this is very important. If people listen to one another, but they have already a matter finished in their head, then they don't listen carefully anymore what is being said, let alone they understand what was said. They hear what they like to hear and understand what they like to understand. And this may not happen to us in spiritual terms. This may God prevent, but it happens over and again. And therefore, we face the very big question, how many will it be who persevere until the end, who abide in the word of truth, who are not soon shaken in mind, but who are patiently waiting, as James writes, until the early and the latter rain has fallen, until God can finish His matter. It's not a secret that there is much confusion on earth that we don't like, but also this should serve for the purpose as Brother Branham says it in one place, to put the genuine even more into the right light. One can waste time with that what is not good, and then not even being able to rejoice about that what is even better than good, what is very good. We know everything what God created, everything what God did was not only good, it was very good. God looked at everything, what he said, what he created, what he did, and it was very good. The same one can also say today. Everything what God says, what he does, what he works, what he brings forth, be it already the corruptible creation, how much more the incorruptible, the divine, the eternal remaining in us. This has to be a perfect thing, because from God can only perfect things come forth. And if we, according to the scripture, were in God before the world began and have been born of God, then this is a perfect thing, a birth from God. And we also emphasize this, that it must happen through the Word and the Spirit of God. Not only as a pious philosophy, which somehow belongs into the realm of the spiritual things, but as a true experience with our God. Perhaps I just mentioned this, because 14 days ago, during my stay in the USA, really, I had to make my greatest disappointment in my life. Partly, I have heard things which I most certainly heard already before, here and there. But when it was so strongly addressed to me, I began to feel otherwise. But a new gratitude came up in my heart to know that there will be a multitude that cannot be deceived, that will not be confused, that cannot be lied to, but people who wait that God's word will be fulfilled. Literally, it will be fulfilled as it is written. Also, this evening, we will not deal with the negative things. The time is too precious to us. Yeah, amen, Brother Gajdacz. I am of the same opinion. But nevertheless, they are worth mentioning to show you what a grace it is to remain in God and with it to remain in the Word of God. And to not go beyond the testimony of the scripture, let alone that we would interpret what he promised. Let me sum it up in a few words. There are many doctrines, also in the ranks of them in which one was in and so forth, which just for the normal citizen, and for my sakes also citizens of the kingdom of God, for thus it is written, We are no more guests and strangers, but citizens of God, God's household. And Paul writes, our citizenship is in heaven. And this we believe. But there are people who really believe that the Lord has come already. Matthew 25 was fulfilled. The bridegroom is here among his bride. People who believe the resurrection, the first resurrection has taken place, who believe that the rapture was already, and so forth. If I would not have heard all these things with my own ears, then I would have to shake with my head and ask whether the one who told it to me, whether he listened properly. But I have listened for hours properly. And I tell you, I really have felt otherwise. And then everything, putting it into the shoes of him whom God has used the mightiest since the day of the apostles. This hurts then even more. But as I said already, we can be grateful. We are not ashamed of the choice of God. We are grateful for all servants, for all the apostles and prophets. But one thing remains forever, that they all spoke the same language of God, that they all taught and said the same thing, that there can be no contradiction between that, what God said 4 or 2,000 years ago, or 200, or for my sake, what he said 20 years ago. If God speaks, then it will be always the same. He will never be able to increase in knowledge. He will never say, here I forgot something. He cannot have forgotten something. He is the source, the fountain of all wisdom and perfection. And for this, we are very grateful. Bad is only that people, if they turn away from the Word of God, they also lose their mind. And I insisted, sometimes I can be uncomfortable. Maybe you don't know this yet. But if it must be, then I can also, here and there, ask uncomfortable questions. And this I also did in this connection. I asked whether the Lord has now come with all his holy angels and whether all nations have gathered before him. And then he said, yes, he has come already with all his saints and all nations are gathered before him. And he asked me whether I don't hear all the lamentations. I said, not until now. But I just mentioned this because it were partly brothers who were here with us, who were traveling with us. And then suddenly, as it is being said, they received a revelation of the seven thunders. And this shall then all be part of it. Then one would wish that a lightning would strike to make an end to all this foolishness. But one thing remains. God is obligated towards his word, and everything will take place as it is written. The Lord will return to take his own home, but also there the scripture must be fulfilled. When they say, Christ is here and Christ is there, then don't believe it. For as the lightning shines from the east to the west, so the return of the Lord will be. The most terrible was when I also had a quote in my hand from a sermon in November 65, where I could show that Brother Branham was waiting for the coming of the Lord. And these people claim the Lord came already 63. And then this wise brother said, this was not even revealed to Brother Branham when the Lord came. Then I said, all right, then it was also not revealed to me. As Red said, we don't want to make fun of these things. It is a deep pain in our hearts that they came up, that they are spread, and that people are pulled away because they, and this I say very consciously, because they left the love for the truth. One has to have left the one thing to receive the other thing. When I have both hands full, no one can put something into them. First, one has to give away, not to say throw away, what one has, to later on receive what is absolutely useless and worthless. So we thank the Lord that He has kept us in His grace. By the way, the same people say the time of grace is over since 1963 and so forth. I could think that it is not over. Where would we be if the time of grace would be over? It will only be over when the last one has been called in, who shall come into the kingdom of God, according to the scripture, Romans 11, from verse 25. When the fullness of the Gentiles has come in, afterwards Israel will be saved in its fullness. I would like to read some words from the Holy Scripture and then also from a sermon of Brother Branham. This I don't do often. This is very seldom. From the Word of God, I would like to read Psalms 119. Psalms 119, verse 160. A well-known word. Psalms 119, 160. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. From Psalms 138, Psalms 138, the first verses. I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. So far, these two scriptures. We cannot repeat often enough that heaven and earth shall pass away, but God's word remains forever. We cannot repeat enough that God's word is the original seed, and that all things which God ever did and still will do, they all will have been done according to His word. And everything what even one of His servant does will also have to be according to his word. From Noah it says, in one verse, and he did everything according to the word of the Lord. Of Moses it says, he did everything as it was shown to him by the Lord. Of Elijah, when he went on Mount Carmel, it says, so that you know that I did all this according to the word of the Lord. Men of God must be joined with God through the Holy Spirit and must draw from the same fountain from which all the prophets and apostles have drawn. And therefore, there must be a 100% conformity of that what has ever been proclaimed and what still will be proclaimed. When Brother Branham was still alive and was transferred into paradise, he was told that he would be judged according to that what he preached. This surprised him. All of us, we believe that we will not be judged. Therefore, we do things which we would not do if we still think we also have to answer to God. But there it suddenly said, you will be judged before them to whom you preached. He was surprised and asked, will also Paul be judged? And the answer was yes. And then he said, I have preached what Paul preached. I baptized as he baptized. If he will stand his ground, I will also stand my ground. And then this great multitude, the multitude dressed in white, cried out, we rest on it. Perhaps I say this for one reason, because so many things are preached what was not preached originally. People did not understand and they bypassed the word of God without to understand that every man must go astray who does not hold on to the word of God. A person who thinks to be intelligent enough and his knowledge will be available to him, such a man, through his knowledge, he is led astray. Thanks be to our God that psalm writers, that prophets and men of God in the Old and New Testament appreciated so much the received word. Why did the men of God esteem the word so highly? They were the ones who received it by divine inspiration. And God has those to whom the word came. He called them gods because they received this divine substance in themselves. I think I can say, if we, God's word, really, by the same revelation and inspiration of the Spirit received, as it was with prophets and apostles, then we, the received and revealed word, we will appreciate it beyond everything. Then we will understand what the psalm writer has expressed with the words, thou hast and thy word great and wonderful made. It's really to me, 2 weeks ago happened. that the brother laughed at me when I opened up the Bible and I wanted to read of it, with a remark, from it all, in all denominations, throughout all the years they have read. And you do the same. My question was, what shall I do? And from what shall I read? Those in the know, they know the answer. We don't want to make it public here, because we know that people have misunderstood it. We believe that every sermon which was held, firstly, it came from the Scripture and again brought us back into the Scripture. Whoever doesn't see it this way doesn't see it correctly. And whoever does not understand it this way does not understand it correctly. To the testimony of the Holy Scripture can nothing be added. Acts 17, a word well known to all of us. One could most certainly read many scriptures which fit to this subject. Acts 17, verse 11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. The word, to receive it with joy, and then with the same joy to search the scriptures, to receive your absolute, the reassurance, to get it, to fix the anchor in the Word of God, so that you are not tossed to and fro. They were noble. They received the word with joy. And then they didn't clap their hands. They were not enthused. But they searched daily in the Holy Scripture whether those things which were presented to them agree with that what is written. If the people would do the same today, then we would have much less trouble. But that the scripture might be fulfilled, also these side issues, which often reach into the core of the churches, they also have to play their role, because it was predicted that people with corrupt minds in the last time would resist the truth, as Jannes and Jambres did at that time. Perhaps one remark. When I told him that it is written, when the Lord comes, two will be on one bed, one be taken, one left, two on the same field, two at the same mill. I say, where was there one single case that one would be taken and the other one would be left? And then he says, this is a special revelation. And I said, I can do without that. If nothing else can serve anymore, then the word revelation. And right about this word, today, I want to speak a bit. Revelation. What is revelation? What is revelation of God? Who knows of the sermon, Christ is the mystery of God revealed? Who knows of the scripture, God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, preached among the nations, believed and so forth, and entered glory. 1 Timothy 3:16. What is divine revelation? Divine revelation is the realization of a promise which He has given. No pious craziness, but realization of the promise which God has given. Christ, the mystery of God in the flesh revealed. For thus it was written, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, whom she shall call Emmanuel. Revelation, yes, but revelation as a divine reality which one can hold in hands and can see. Simon held the revelation of God in his hands. He took it into his arms and said, Lord, now you let your servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen the salvation of God. To me, time and again, new thoughts are coming from the conversation. I really would like to push them away. But I said, Enoch was the seventh after Adam. And it is written that God's well-pleasing rested on him, and he was no more found on earth. And I said, you are all here and are raptured. Where have you been raptured to? Enoch was no more found on earth, and you are still here. I would have liked to say, get out of here. But I always remain polite, also then, when people are totally wrong. Because I know precisely that it's not the people, but pious, misleading spirits of which these people were possessed. And then it gets seven times worse. A second scripture still, 2 Timothy 2, also a well-known word, 2 Timothy 2:16 to 18. 2 Timothy 2:16 to 18. Perhaps also verse 15 to it. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We continue from verse 17. And their word will eat as does a cancer, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Here I am reminded on the word in Ecclesiastes. What was already here will be again. There is nothing new under the sun. Already then there were people who claimed the resurrection is past already. Today we have the same condition. And also this is very fitting. People die and go from here, but spirits who dwell in them, they are not buried. They go out of these people and are again in others, and until they die, and then they are again in the next. We, as children of God, have the promise to receive the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God is the Spirit of truth. The Spirit of truth leads into all truth, and all truth is all the Word of God. Everything else misses the mark. Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9, verse 21. And with this we come then a bit closer to our subject. Romans 9, verse 21. Has not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? Then, verse 23, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory. There are various vessels with various content. God wants to make vessels out of us, which he can fill. Vessels which shall overflow, for we are with that, what we received until now, not fully satisfied. And I have here a very good news for you. God has more. God has much more than we received until now. And God will give more. Let us today believe God and trust Him and not hesitate hearing and perhaps even more hesitating with our decision towards Him, but just in our hearts, make the decision in the heart. Lord, I want to be fully yours and be fully available for you. If we do this as an overall church, doing it sincerely, not half-hearted, but out of full conviction, and say, Lord, your coming is near. You want to manifest yourself. You have just people whom you can use for it, and now we are here on earth. We have heard your word, and we are available for you. Here we are. Do with us as you please, but without any break, without any if and but. You know, we as people, we sometimes deceive ourselves. We say, fully for Jesus, fully for Jesus. And later on, it's not so fully as we have sung. But God will give grace to it. Let us believe it with all our hearts. I read now, just briefly, the prayer for the introduction of the sermon. Christ is the mystery of God revealed. Preached on the 28th of July, 63, by the man of God, William Branham. Here it says, in the prayer, Lord Jesus, speaking to this body of the church, that they should hold together with God's unchanging hand, their absolute, the Word. Warning them, as Paul warned his flock, that there would be wolves enter in. You are the same God today as you were then, and that enemy is the same. May this fellowship and bonds of love always exist amongst these people in Christ Jesus. You know what a shepherd's heart means. You can read it in the prophet Jeremiah. You can read it in the prophet Ezekiel. God spoke, I will give them shepherds after my heart. I myself will be the shepherd of my flock and will look after my sheep. And then God speaks also the verdict and says, the shepherds were feeding themselves and so forth, but the flock they have scattered. Then God says, I have set watchmen over my people, and these shall not be silent, but when they see calamity approaching, then they shall warn. If not, the blood of them who perish will be required from them. For we admonish, not because we have fun of it. We admonish as Paul and other servants of God have admonished, because the deception is so great, and the enemy always uses the Holy Scripture. And I ask you, what did the enemy use at the temptation of our Lord? It is written. It is written. He took the word. He made use of the word, as already in the Garden of Eden. But he has twisted it. He applied it wrong. His tactics did not change until today. But also we must do that what our Lord has done. And said, it is also written. If somebody wants to tell us something, then we must go to the scripture and search in it and see where the confirmation is of that what was presented there. Every matter must be confirmed by two or three witnesses. From the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 23, I read verse 22. Jeremiah 23, verse 22. But if they had stood in my counsel, they would have caused my people to hear my words. Everybody who really has received the counsel of God himself, he cannot do otherwise but to bring to the people of God the words of God. Brother Branham continues to say in the sermon here, and may, as you gave the vision some 2 years ago to store up the food, then he goes into details what he was shown. And then he says, of which I saw in the vision that it was stored here in this tabernacle. May we today receive a whole barrel full of debt or a tape load. I call here upon God for my witness. When Brother Branham told me on the 3rd of December 1962 of the storing in of the food. It is on the tapes. And with this he meant the sermons which were recorded and which were kept, that they later on could be translated, that they later on could be given to the people of God. And this was our task, to give to our generation the Word of God determined for this time, that includes all the promises and the prophetic part of the plan of salvation, and to acquaint them with it. There was the need of a prophetic ministry to put the word of prophecy upon the lampstand. But it takes the greatest care and probably also a divine commission to bring this revealed word in an order according to the will of God, according to the overall testimony of the Holy Scripture, and to set it forth to the people of God, so that the overall testimony is correct. I had to think on 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18 probably. Today we spoke about it with some brothers. There it says, of the word and of the cross. The word of the cross. And do you know that right this word in our days is rejected? I don't want to repeat the blasphemy which I heard there with my own ears. But today, or was it yesterday? Probably yesterday. A brother spoke out the right thing. Here it says, the word of the cross. And the word of the cross has become a riddle to the people. And then he suddenly says, cross word puzzle. And this really fits into our days. The revelation got lost to the people, and they don't get the things together anymore. It is like a crossword puzzle, but not for us. For us, in an order put together in divine harmony, only we also have to let ourselves be placed into this divine harmony. And I believe God has largely succeeded in doing this with us. We probably may not be there where God wants us to be, but we have not gone too far. And we also didn't go beyond the testimony of the Scripture. Maybe we are lagging a little behind. This may be possible, but God can restore unto us the years. He can give back what got lost. He can give new courage, new strength, new hope. Here Brother Branham continues, God had a purpose and a hidden mystery. And that's what I want to speak on to the church this morning. About the hidden mystery of God that he had in his mind before the world ever began. And how that it's unfolded itself right down to this present hour that we are living. This is in line with Ephesians chapter 1, with Colossians chapter 1, with many scriptures, that God, before the foundation of the world, made a plan with mankind. and that in the midst of the history of mankind, the divine plan of salvation is realized. And on earth are not only children of men, but on earth are also children of God. Amidst the human kindred is the divine kindred. And therefore, the Holy Scripture writes in the book of Acts, we are of divine kindred. The same Peter mentioned in his letter then. But who sees it? Who hears it? Who understands it? Only he who really received the grace of God, who was born into the kingdom of God. And there it lacks. Many are from various circles and directions, have come to the end time message without having had a true experience with God, pulled along with enthusiasm about the great deeds of God. They also, for a long time, they have been in a good mood, and they spoke of that what God, as we said, has done through a prophet. But the greatest works which God does, whether through Moses, through Elijah, through Paul or Peter, or through us here today, do not substitute the work of God in the individual. It has to take place in us personally. And therefore, our Lord already said then, in the Gospel of John chapter 3, except somebody is born again, otherwise he cannot see the kingdom of God. He doesn't find his way around in the kingdom of God. He has to be of the same substance, of the same material. And the kingdom of God does not come with earthy byproducts, not with objections, not with things which we say self-opinionated. The kingdom of God makes its way by force and penetrates into us. And then, when Christ is in us and the kingdom of God was established in us, then we are in the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of God is in us. Then we are in Christ, and Christ is in us. The scripture testifies to both. 2 Corinthians 5, if any man be in Christ, then he is a new creature. The other word probably to the Philippians. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Both must be harmoniously coordinated. We in the Word and the Word in us. It's not a one way with God, but an intimate fellowship that the Lord established through Calvary. So here it speaks of the mystery of God, which was hidden and that was purposed by God before the foundation of the world, and in the course of time finds its realization. It continues here, then you will understand clearly, then you see, I believe, what is being done. God's great mystery is hidden. He kept it a secret. Nobody knew nothing about it. Even the angels didn't understand it. He didn't reveal it. That's the reason under our seventh mystery, when the seventh seal was opened, there was silence. We know that Brother Branham spoke about the seven seals, and that it can be read in the scriptures in Revelation 8, verse 1. We all know it inside out. When the seventh seal was opened, there was a silence in heaven for about half an hour. The Bible speaks in the past tense, actually, of everything what concerns the plan of salvation. If we read the Holy Scripture properly, then John saw the 144,000 already sealed on Mount Zion. He saw the multitude singing in heaven, and they all called out, "The marriage of the Lamb is come. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him." John saw the new heaven and the new earth. With God, time means actually nothing. He is from eternity to eternity. If it says in Matthew 25, "And the bridegroom came, and the door was closed," then it was, and it is still in the future. But then there are such brothers who take here this past tense and say, "It's written here, and he said it, and the door was closed, so it must have happened already, if it's written, the door was closed." You sit there with incomprehensibilities and you think, how shall it go on? Our God takes care for it, that his mystery which he purposed from eternity, which is of course manifold, it will find its completion therein when the Lord returns to take his own home. And then we shall see him as he is. And then we will be like him. That's how it is written. And that's how I believe it. For this will be a divine reality. And therefore, there was a silence in heaven for half an hour. Now it comes. Seven thunders uttered their voices. And it was forbidden to John to write it down. It concerned the coming of the Lord. I'm happy that also the thunders are connected with the coming of the Lord. Because exactly there they belong and nowhere else. Namely, to that coming of the Lord, when he will come again to put his feet upon land and sea, as the original owner who redeemed everything, who paid for it, who purchased it back, and then announces that he will start the reign. Then, and this doesn't happen at the rapture, he doesn't put his foot upon land and sea. At the rapture, we will be lifted up from the earth after our bodies were changed to meet the Lord in the air. This is what the Holy Scripture says. There are a large number of the comings of the Lord, and perhaps we should touch upon them at this weekend, and you will be astonished that even in Revelation 22, where long time ago in chapter 19, it was spoken of the marriage supper, and in between it was spoken about many things, to not say about everything, it was spoken and written. And in Revelation 22, it says then so nicely, "Behold, I come quickly." Whoever has read all the other chapters, he should say, everything happened already. The Lord came a long time ago. And in chapter 22, he says, "Behold, I come quickly." What we need is really revelation of the Holy Spirit, revelation of Jesus Christ. And I dare to say it here, it was given to us by his grace. We have sat down at the feet of Jesus, in the school of the kingdom of heaven, as written in Matthew 23. Not at the feet of a Gamaliel, but at the feet of Jesus. We got the word revealed, which was revealed by the Holy Spirit. By the same Spirit, we got it revealed in all the details. If we would not say it like this, then we would not give God the glory. We give glory to our Lord, who has taken care for it, that in this time of confusion, a clear and true, unfalsified, holy word of God in every biblical doctrine can be proclaimed. And this word has not come from us. It is already written in the Bible, and it has been merely revealed so that we know what God intends to do with us and what reason is with the great mystery of God, which was hidden to the kindreds of men, but now was revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets. I rejoice about it, that the Lord has spoken clearly with us. Brother Schmidt has read it to us. Have ye understood all this? Or listen carefully. Where was it? We can read it again. At another place, he also says, Matthew 13, have you understood all this? Oh yes, we understood the Lord. We are led deeper, that's right. We are led further on, but into the same direction, and the direction is also right. Never believe that we don't daily examine ourselves, and we don't examine ourselves on ourselves or on others. We examine ourselves based on the Word of God. What did our Lord say? From now on, the world sees me no more, but ye shall see me. I will reveal myself to you, not somebody else. He, the risen one, he who during the 40 days revealed himself to his own, he spoke with them about the kingdom of God. He is still the same today, without any fanaticism, with deep and intimate joy, and likewise with deep gratefulness. We can say, Lord, you have spoken to us. You revealed yourself to us. You have revealed unto us the hidden things of your word and of your plan of salvation. For this, we are grateful. For such a fulfillment of Bible prophecy that are interpreted by people, we can do without. We wait for the genuine, for the true. What was with the resurrection of Jesus? Was it just a doctrine? No. The tomb was empty. The tomb was empty. And to them who could not fully understand it, it was said, what do you seek, the living among the dead? This was a promise, and the promise became reality. For that's how you can read it in Psalms and in Acts 2. I will not suffer mine Holy One to see corruption, neither that his soul remains in hell. It was the scripture, and the scripture could not be broken. Within 72 hours, corruption sets in. So he did not have to raise after 3 days, but within 3 days. And The wise break their heads about it, and sometimes also their glasses, because they just say, but Jonas was fully 3 days and only on the fourth day. The people don't read the Bible correctly. If they would read it correctly, then they would get the meaning of which it is about. Everything is revelation, but revelation that merges in the divine reality, that doesn't bypass it. Didn't the Lord always say, destroy this temple and I rebuild it within 3 days, not after 3 days? Not a single time. One always has to distinguish whether a scripture is recited or whether it's the literal saying of the Lord when he, for my sake, in this case, refers to an event. What was with the resurrection of them who rose with Jesus? What does the Holy Scripture say here? And the graves were opened, and many of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection. Was this a doctrine? It was a mighty manifestation, but a manifestation of the power of God, a manifestation of the resurrection power of God. They rose with him. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 14, as certain as we believe that Christ has risen, so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. Where are they? When I ask this, he says, revelation. Revelation, yes. But revelation that merges into divine reality. Jesus Christ, God manifested in the flesh. And do you know, when the completion comes, we, as manifested sons and daughters of God, will come forth. And this is the great event for what all are waiting for. I wait for it, and I don't wait in vain. I know that it will happen. I have God's word for it, and therein my faith is anchored. Oh, how many scriptures we could read, which just make us happy. Why making us happy? Because we may abide in the word of God and ponder on this word in our hearts, as Mary did it. And we know, if the divine seed was laid into us, nothing else can be added to it, for there's no mixing anymore. Brother Branham said, out of this last revival, a bride, pure, untouched, will come forth. And as Mary then, as a virgin, was waiting for, until the promised word seed came, it was the word of promise, and the word of promise merged into the reality of the promise, and Christ was born. So will it be at the end of the time of grace. The whole creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons and daughters of God. And John writes, it does not yet appear. You see, what a harmony, how the Spirit of God was leading the various apostles. The one speaks of appearing. The other writes, it does not yet appear. And then he writes, out of conviction, inspired by the Holy Spirit, but when he will appear, then we will be like him. Hallelujah. Praise and honor be to our God. Then nobody will limp around. Then we will be like him. changed. Mortality will have put on immortality, and corruption will have put on incorruption, as it is written, in one moment at the last trump. All this we will not interpret, this we will nicely experience, as we have been counted worthy to receive the word of promise for these days. Let us carry this word of promise with dignity and wait patiently until the hour of God comes and when it finds fulfillment in us and through us. I still read, He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But if the thing is put together right, there is the entire picture of the fall and regeneration. The whole picture of creation and God's whole plan revealed right in Jesus Christ. And afterward, Brother Branham says, Amen. We say Amen far too seldom. If God's word is preached, then we can confidently say Amen. For by this we agree with God. Thereby we agree with God. Thereby we say, so be it. Amen. So be it. And thus it will also be. If the thing is put together right, there is the entire picture of the fall and regeneration. And if this has happened, then there will be no trace anymore of the fall, no trace of sin, of sickness, of trouble and death. For thus it is written, there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying. The old things are passed away. Behold, all things became new. If this veil of tears shall be the room of joy here, then I don't know what we are waiting for. I say it in folly. By the grace of God, we know what we are waiting for the bridegroom of our soul, who promised in the Gospel of John in chapter 14, I go to prepare a place for you, and then I come again to receive you unto myself, so that you are there where I am also. He will not be here where we are. We will be there where He is. But these people put every word of God upside down. And when I then even said, but listen, it's written in Matthew 22 that the room was filled with guests, and then somebody came in, a man who had no wedding garment on. I said, when the marriage takes place now here, did you cast out this man already, who had no wedding garment on? I said, if this is so, who was that man? And then he really says, huh, this is a special revelation. And then you can imagine, this went on to and fro. Never a concrete answer, until really the measure was full. And then I didn't want any more. Beloved, I repeat myself, let us become more grateful for the word of God that was revealed to us in all soberness and clarity, becoming more grateful that God kept us in His grace and of a sound mind. Not only revelation is important, it shall be right in the heart and in the head. And I say to you confidently, if it is right in the heart, then it will be also right somewhere else. But if there is a confusion in the heart, then out of the abundance of the heart, this then comes forth. So, let us summarize. God has a great plan with mankind. He wants to make children of God out of children of men. He wants us, by the new birth, give us eternal life so that we can be forever with Him. And I really ask for it, that we not only hear it over and again, but receiving it in us as a divine seed and say, Lord, now I have heard it long enough. Please, please, come with your Spirit upon your word. Make everything new in me. Let me that what you promised experience. A hymn writer, we sing the chorus, I pray for a new experience with you. Only through you I will be a victor. On the side of the Lord we will go from victory to victory, for He has won the battle for us. He is the victor of Calvary. He will return, and as His own knew and experienced that He has come then, and that the scripture was fulfilled in Him literally, so He, when He will return, every scripture which refers to it will be fulfilled. What is written for Him will be fulfilled on Him. What is written for us will be fulfilled in us. In any case, God has vessels for His glory on earth. Vessels that are pure. Vessels that receive His holy word. Vessels that don't let a strange seed come in, committing spiritual fornication, but remaining untouched and pure. What does Paul write in 2 Corinthians 11? I fear that your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ, and that the serpent, as he beguiled Eve, beguiles also you. The sound mind is the mind of Christ, and He is always the Word and will forever be. We shall be minded as He was. Vessels for His glory. New vessels. Vessels that experienced the new birth, that bear divine life in them. And by it, having the connection with God and His Word, and everything that does not come from God and from His Word can also not come from His Spirit. The Spirit transfigures Jesus. He takes the Word and reveals it to us in the divine significance. And by it, we want to come to a close today with grateful hearts. Amen. Let us stand up and thank the Lord.